Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Happy Questing. I am joined by my wonderful co-hosts and co-founders, Andrew Buckman, Brandon Barba, and I'm Danny Tripodi. And we're here to talk about some Lorcana. What do we got going on, guys?
Well, set champs in the middle of it and reprints coming out in set 9. So we are less than a month away from a new set, and we are in the heart of final stretch, really, of set champs right now.
Yeah, we've had 3 weekends, 4 weekends of them so far, and then there's this weekend. Does this weekend wrap it up, or is there? It feels like it's going on and on and on.
I know it does. It feels like maybe it is. Is it 3 or 4?
4 weeks.
Is it 4 weeks?
Yep.
Man. Yeah, I've done 6 now.
6?
Wow. I've pretty much done one every weekend. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh wait, no. That would be 3 weekends.
You've done.
There's been 3. There's been 3 weeks.
You've done 6 set champs.
Have you also?
Because we didn't have like earlier.
Oh, you missed the.
There
first
was
one
stuff that was
sick.
Happening.
Yeah, I had summer plague, so I missed out on an entire weekend of set champs. That was crazy.
So set champs are going really well, as you can see. We have 2 champion mats here. And
self brag.
2 mats, but only 1 person has won those mats. Yeah. So let's be clear.
I'm sorry. yeah, it's been going pretty well.
Speak for yourself. For speak for yourself. I would say.
Well, as a team, we've done.
Yeah,
pretty
team,
well.
We've done really well. Yes.
I mean, how many Jafars do we have across everybody? It's got to be a lot.
Yeah, top 8 placements, and like when we show up as a team, in some cases we are like either half the field for your top 8 or the majority. So yeah. I mean, like as a team, shout out. And like Brandon, like how many set champs have you played in?
I've only done 3.
3, and how many times have you made top 8?
Just 1.
Okay, so that's like that's still
percentage.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was upset. And Anthony made 1 out of the 3 we've played 2.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest obstacle this set champs, I've had 2. The first weekend for me was dice rolling. I really sucked at it, and it hurt me because I had multiple mirror matches and lost them. But I think the matchups have been, like, the meta in Syracuse for these has it's shifted a little bit in the last week. Maybe it's because we brought in some guys from Buffalo when we were there Saturday, but it was like overwhelmingly Amber Steel. I know Anthony was complaining. He played 6 games at Dame and 5 were against Amber Steel.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just painful. I think when you just know it's coming. Different versions, right? But yeah. They are all have a couple of the same things. And I don't know. That's what I think the big, for me, the set championship event is like first weekend I got beat up because I was playing Amber Steel, one of the people playing it, right? And it was pretty dominant there, but where we were Misfit, right?
Yep.
What did you guys do? That was Sunday. What was Saturday?
You were to Buffalo.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's
Saturday was out
to Buffalo.
Buffalo. That was the Pokey stop. I have a list of everything because I'm psychotic and like to track everything that I do. So, yeah, that was Pallet Town, Pokey stop. That was on 7/19. Then 7/20 was Misfits. Then 7/26 was Great Escape Adventure Ithaca.
Yep.
That was where I got my first champ mat. That one. So I'm glad that I got a second one because that one didn't really feel like a win. It was a perfect tournament for me, but I only had to play 3 rounds and I didn't drop a single game. Like I went 6-0.
Yeah, there were only 8 people there, so it was a cut to, you know, that it was just your 8, and then whoever won in the Swiss was the winner.
And then after that was 7/27 that Sunday was Dame Games. That one, I was like, I got the mat, so I'm just going to play this fun deck, and then ended up topping with it. And then from there, we have Tabletop Gaming leads us into this past weekend, and Mystify Games out in Waterloo. So yeah, it's been quite a gauntlet for set champs thus far.
To Brandon, your point, I think my biggest like enemy of the set champs has been the stores and how they run them. And it's no shade to the people who do it because they're great people, you know, good friends of ours, and we want to support the community. So this is not shade at them, but nobody's reading the rule book. There has not been a single set champ where there hasn't been some logistical issue because they're just not following the 2-page set champ rule book. And it's really disappointing when like I'll call myself out for it. I'm not a slow player, but I play the game slowly because I'm trying to play as best I can. And you know what? I'm going to use that time. And when you take away 5 minutes from me in a mirror match of control decks, that feels really bad. And then not only that, but when you everyone in your top eight agrees to tie just to make it easier, but then because it's supposed to only cut to top four because that's what the rules say, top four people make it, and then, you know, like, okay, well, now who gets screwed over by, you know, poor choices? So yeah. I just wish we could follow the rules.
So that's a really funny one, and I'm going to jump to, I agree on the following rules. I don't point the finger at the stores, because the stores are responsible for knowing lots of games, and it might not be their main game. And yes, you're running an event, you should take the time to read the rules. I'm not going to disagree with that. But the fact that, I'm going to put this one on Ravensburger, whoever's running the game, when I play League, it's 50 minutes. When we get to Set Champs, it's 55. I don't know why you need an extra 5 minutes that you didn't need on Wednesday night. Then why are we putting a time limit in a match that has to get a winner? Right. So why in the final eight? And then to speak, the reason we think that, and they thought, and I had left unless the opinion changed at Tabletop, where we had the top, everyone agreed in the top eight, just for whatever sake. The reason it went to top four was three people had dropped, and it went from 18 people to 15. So the system called it a 16-person tournament, which calls for a top four. Had no one dropped, it would have gone to a top eight. The fact that we've got a system that's broken, because it shouldn't do that. And I'll be honest, if you announce at the beginning, this is what your time limit is, this is what we're doing, I think you solve some of those problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we had announced top eight made it, or at least Tabletop did. And that's why they said, we're going to fix this. We're going to do what we said we were going to do. Like, that's very frustrating to go from that part, because you don't want to find out halfway through you're getting screwed out of 5 minutes. Yeah. And I don't want to point a finger just at the stores. Andrew's obviously one of the few people that read the 2-page rules. We all should be reading the rules. So when it goes at the beginning and they say it's 50 minutes, say, how come we're not following the rules? Like, I don't want to be that guy, but why, if we're all okay with it, at least I know going in. But
absolutely.
And I'm guilty of not reading the rules.
No, it's unfortunate, but these documents are there for a reason. It would be beneficial if PlayHub could maybe, like, when you set it as a set champs, it just automatically adjusts the 55-minute clock. That would be if Ravensburger, if you're listening, if you guys can develop that on your side of things, when you have, like, just local play, it just automatically sets the clock for 50, that would solve the problem right there. A little bit of the problem, but
go ahead.
It is unfortunate, and part of me can't blame the store owners, because they've got a lot going on. They've got a whole store to run. They don't really care just about one tournament. But also it is annoying from a player standpoint. And another thing that I wanted to say too is, Andrew isn't a slow player. You're just playing controlling decks. And, like, as a player who's played other controlling decks, like when I was playing Emerald Steel Discard, I need to burn my opponent's hand out and make sure that they're not going to make a comeback before I can start questing out to 20. And back with that, when that was popular, I was only questing with one cost characters or one questing character. So it took a while. And people were like, oh, Danny's so slow. It's just like, no, it's the nature of the control deck. Unfortunately, so it's unfortunate, especially against a mirror match of two controlling decks wanting to control each other and go to time.
Well, and to the, you know, 50 minutes versus 55 casual play, where you don't really, like, you're not supposed to care in League. I know, like, some of us do, because we're a little sweaty about it and we get our prizes and we want to make sure that, you know, that happens. That's cool and all, but, like, the League is meant to be more casual versus this tournament. And we've got some sweaty players in Central New York, and that's a good thing. Like, we go into these tournaments, like, not here to just have fun, because we're having fun together, but we're doing it to win. You know, the fact that the Buffalo guys come out to Syracuse to compete in a little tournament? It sounds silly when you say it, but the reality is it's like you want to play in a good spot and have a chance to win. And so, like, yeah, that 5 minutes turns into, because now you're making decisions. And it was actually really great to maybe segue on to the champion deck that we're going to feature. Like, shout out to Mystify, the set champ that Danny won this Sunday. You know, it was just super well organized, and minus some salty players during the tournament. You know, we talked about how, like, it was, there were no logistical issues, so the tournament itself ran smoothly. And the I'd say like the top three, because your final opponent, like, even commented, Sam was talking about like how, you know, it just felt good. Like, I didn't even feel bad losing to Danny's deck because it was like a meta breaker. And, you know, it's just a good tournament that like rules were followed, and Danny takes home a champion map from it. So, you know.
Yeah. Shout out to Sam. Sam, you're the real one. And he did teach me a nice lesson. I don't know why. It's like a twitch or something. I think I did it against you the first, like, when it, way back at Misfits for the Ursula set champs. After I beat people in, like, a higher stakes tournament, I'm like, I always feel bad for them. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I hate to be the person that eliminates people. Like, it doesn't feel, especially, like, having two
matches.
Says
the guy who,
like,
won two champ matches, right?
Yeah. And I'm just going, like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, no, don't be sorry. You won. Like... So that's just
you gotta be proud of your own accomplishments in there.
Yeah.
And one before we touched that deck, I noticed on Saturday when we did have the top eight and we all agreed to draw because we would all go through, the frustration from the other, from those 9 and 10 people was very, very high. And fair enough. But, you know, I think there was talk of the matchups seem weird based on seeding. I mean, everyone gave Melee a lot of crap, but you knew what it was going to do for seeding for the most part. I think, I don't think people feel that way with this one. And it's early on, and I get that. And when any software comes out, it takes time to work through things. But it was, I think there was a lot of people, like, I was kind of shy. I don't think I've been somewhere where we have 19 people enter. And after three rounds, you're like, okay, we got a top eight. Like,
yeah.
Literally no one was playing. I was like, there was told don't play, and I'm like, what? What do you mean don't play? I don't like that personally, so it's weird.
Yeah, it is crazy, and that's just like another reason why best of two format might have been the better format.
Open that can of worms.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm bitter that they got rid of it. I thought our tournament showed it, and people said you always had that chance, but that's not our decision anymore.
Honestly,
the players spoke.
Yeah, I wish I played in more best of two formats, because it would have, one, helped me for when we went to Toronto, mm-hmm. and the LCQ wasn't best of two, right?
No,
it was best
that
of
was
three.
Best of three.
But yeah,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they had,
it was single round elimination, though, so it wasn't a Swiss. It was just
that makes sense. I didn't know that was single round.
Yeah, but like the best of two format, I didn't appreciate enough in Toronto, but during our 2K, I was like, oh wow, this is actually really cool, because nobody dropped, everybody was playing games, nobody intentionally drew, like it really played to the game. Like, people got to enjoy Lorcana all day instead of the top eight just all intentionally drawing and screwing out everybody else.
Well, and even on Saturday when we all top eight drew, and there was one match that played, and it was Anthony and Isaiah, and they like to play, and they're going to play it out, and we had to wait for them, and then it impacted the seeding.
It sure did.
And they were like, they were down, and they, you know, a couple people moved around. Didn't impact who I played.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we do need to talk about Danny's super powered...
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm going to win deck. Let me see. I don't know if I've ever seen it. Can we pull it up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll pull this up. And for our folks watching at home, we'll...
I can send you the link, too, so you can have it on here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, something I can see. All I know is Mike Fielding said dump truck.
Dump truck.
Unfortunately, dump truck is the wrong color for the deck. But...
Well, that'd be impressive. Well, he was talking about the tech question we had from before, but Dump Truck already has a name, so it has a character. I'm not talking to the mic, so you might have heard what I was mumbling. Sorry, Mike, I'm picking on you. At least you're getting shouted out here while you're probably playing mini golf.
So this is the list that I would recommend anybody play if you want to take down your set champs. And I'll say that with a little parenthesis, like, if your meta looks like this. So if your meta looks like very heavy in Steel Song, very heavy in Ruby Sapphire control, very heavy with Ruby Amethyst even, this deck that I'm about to show you will take down your local meta. And it's without a question. Unfortunately, it's disgusting. It's a form of hyper aggro with Amber Sapphire, the two worst colors in Lorcana. And it's crazy. For our folks listening, It starts off with four copies of Daisy Duck, Donald's Date, four copies of Patch, Playful Pup, four copies of Ludwig von Drake, All Around Expert, three copies of Piglet, Pooh Pirate Captain, three copies of Anna, Braving the Storm, and then three copies of Duke Weaselton, Small Time Crook. Then you got four copies of Lady Family Dog, four copies of Alice Savvy Sailor, four copies of Belle, Apprentice Inventor, four copies of Wendy Darling, The Authority on Peter Pan, four copies of Rapunzel, Gifted with Healing, four copies of Sven, Reindeer Steed. Shout out to Sven. He helped me secure my win against Sam off the top.
Literally a top deck. It was crazy.
I forget who I had. I might have had Duke Weaselton, and I quested with him. Played Sven, readied him, and that was enough to secure the game because Duke Weaselton had Ward, and it didn't matter at that point. But then from there, we have four copies of Thunderbolt Wonder Dog, three copies of Restoring the Heart, which I loved that card. I remember playing in the Arcasia Island set release, and I was like, wow, this card's really good.
Why is it not getting more play? Maybe because no one plays those colors.
So then we got four copies of Popsicle, and last off, four copies of McDuck Man.
McDuckman. So back to the card that we're talking about, Restoring the Heart. What I loved watching people play against you, Danny, is nobody had any idea what any of these cards did. Patch, Ludwig, Restoring the Heart. Every single time, there's like, what does that card do? And then you would do something, and then they would like go look at your discard, be like, what is that card that he just played?
Yeah.
Like, so funny, because to your point, Brandon, no one plays these colors, so that's why.
And that's what you want in a, and we kind of had this conversation on the way back home. People don't know how to, or at least, how do I want to say this? A vast majority of players don't know how to pilot their deck outside of how their game plan is supposed to go. So when you throw a monkey wrench in their plans, they don't know what to do. They're like, I've never seen these cards before. Like, what the fuck is going on? And this is exactly what Amber Sapphire does and does well. Ward is super underappreciated right now. I don't think a lot of people understand.
It totally counters Steel Song.
Yeah, in a steel-driven meta, Ward is the anti-meta. That's just what it is. It's built to take out steel. And you take advantage of that. Turn one, you drop a patch, and then they go, what the fuck is that? They read it and then go, okay, whatever, shrug it off. Next turn, on an ideal seven, you're dropping Ludwig, and then you're ripping a card out of their hand because it's a non-character card. And then on turn three, you can shift onto your puppy with Thunderbolt, and then he's a 3/7 two quester who will protect Ludwig for a turn. But then from there, you can follow it up with either a lady and drop like a Piglet, so they're protected by Thunderbolt, or you can drop Alice to eventually give Thunderbolt Ward, which is even more disgusting. Then there's no answer other than attacking through it. And then when they do, you drop the Rapunzel to heal at least three damage off of the Thunderbolt and draw three cards.
So that's your ideal line, right?
That's pretty much, yeah.
So then I always take a step back as four cards has got to get you that first play, right? 4 out of 60. So outside of that, you've got Popsicle that you could, in theory, play one and then dump Belle on that.
Yep.
Terrible situation, right? You got Daisy, who...
Love to see
turn one. I mean, you've got a lot of options. If you can't get Ludwig out on turn two, you have Piglet, so on turn three.
Yep.
You know, there's so many options. You get Lady out there, and she plays another card with her when you've only got a Piglet out, and boom, you can now quest for two extra with Piglet.
It's great. It's a very quick deck. I remember I forget the exact line, but I had quested to two, and then the next turn I quested to seven and went up to nine, and that was just I think that was probably around turn three. My opponent was like, okay, well, I don't know what to do now. You know, it's very fast.
So what you're saying is Andrew can't play this deck.
I think anyone can.
I'm
picking on Andrew's speed, but
aggro, there's a lot of shade from aggro, but I do think there are a lot of like decisions that you have to make. Like I was talking to Andrew on the way home, like there's some times where you need to trade with your opponent because you don't want them to go too wide against you. But for the most part, you're usually going to want to just turn things sideways and play as many ward cards as you can. That's another thing. I love to send back the ward cards so that way I can draw them off the top. Same for Sven. He's a great top deck. And also, McDuck Manor won me a handful of games. There were times where I would be holding on to a McDuck Manor until I had a second one, and then I could drop McDuck Manor one turn. And while they're dealing with my characters, like Thunderbolt and stuff, here's a second manor for you, too. And, oh, you're halfway through this manor. Let me heal it up with Restoring the Heart, because Restoring the Heart lets you heal locations, which a lot of people don't know. and you get a draw off of it.
This deck has my favorite card and my least favorite card.
Really?
And what's your favorite card?
Rapunzel.
Okay.
I love the Rapunzel card. I love the mechanic. I'm really sad that it's not coming back. There's no way it's going to get downshifted that can't be a super rare or rare, in my opinion. So I don't think it's coming back. I love what it does. I love it's got a big butt. I know there's a couple cards to take it out, but I also think it's beautiful with her hair and the way that's in there. I just think it's an awesome looking card. I've loved it since day one. And then my least favorite card is McDuck Manor. Yeah. I mean, just like my son, Anthony, who plays Ruby Sapphire times, he hates it. He's like, I can't wait to see the card go, because you see it come out and you're like, it happened to me this weekend. I was playing and it came out and I'm like, I got three guys out there and this turn, instead of me questing them, I have to turn them to get rid of that thing. And then they turn around and drop another one on me and you're like, well, this is just, I hate the card. I'm so glad. In which now we're starting to see locations come back, because I don't know why they chose the one they chose when we get there. But
yeah.
We might see it come back. I hope not.
So
can't superpower Sapphire anymore.
Well, you never know. to wrap up my opponents, just so people can get a good idea of what I played. Round one, I 2-0'd on the draw against Emerald Steel Discard. Round two, I went 2-1 on the play against Ruby Amethyst. Round three, I forfeited to Andrew so he could solidify his spot on the top.
Which it would have been a 2-0 for Danny, because I was playing Amber Steel and I've already, in the same basic deck, had the matchup where it was impossible.
It's not a fun time.
Oppressive.
Then round four, I played against a Blurple player, Pat, 2-0'd him on the play, and then it cut to top four. I came in second after rounds, and it was a rematch against the Emerald Steel player, who at that point, poor guy, felt defeated and was like, hey, you're just going to win. And I 2-0'd him on the play. And then in the finals against Sam, who was running Amber Steel Song without the wheels.
Yeah, he was on Doc instead.
Yeah, which was an interesting choice. I 2-0'd him, and that was on the draw. So that was the tournament with this deck. I think it's a really great color combo if you are looking to play something spicy and you don't tell all your friends about it. You might have a really good time. Hopefully we can get some more champion mats, but this deck took me all the way with it, and it's a pretty affordable deck too, besides the Rapunzels, like very cheap.
Okay, one question for you on this. Where did the design come from? Did you build it? I asked because there's actually TCG Players got a great article about how do you build a deck.
Yeah.
It's an extensive article. I glanced at it, didn't have time to read it today. So it was on the Lorcana page, but it talked about the whole process and going through. So is this something you found? Because that's what you have to do is go find something and then tweak it a little. Did you build it yourself? I have no idea what this answer is, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, so back when, what was it, last set?
You brought it to Dame.
Last set, I did bring it to Dame first, and that was just, you know, what I ended up beating Chubby in top eight, but I gave him the win because I already had the mat. Who knows? Maybe I could have had three mats, but I don't want to be that greedy. So the deck originated from a car ride back from the Forbidden Mountains
the encounter.
And we were all talking in the car. I think it was me, Andrew, Jeremy, Chubby, and Josh, right? Mm-hmm. We were all in the car and we were talking about Amber Sapphire aggro because of how low to the ground it is, and you have McDuck Manor. So we all we hung out outside of Chubby's house after we got back home, and we were all trying to think of cards that would go in the deck. And I had that. I remember playing it a little bit on Lorcanito, and it was terrible. Like, I couldn't get a win with it. I was like, this is dumb, whatever. So it just sat in my Dreamborn for a while. And I was looking at Patch and especially Ludwig. Ludwig, I had pulled 3 foil copies of him at the start of the set, and I was like, man, he's a bare necessities and he ramps. Like, what a great card. Patch really didn't catch my attention until Thunderbolt was a card that existed, and I was like, oh wait, that's a shift 3. And yeah, there's a handful of people putting out Amber Sapphire decks, but I think this one is got enough consistency that it can do really well. I've played around with I believe Lorcana Theo had a list that's similar, and he had Penny the Orphans, which is probably going to replace some of the cards if they rotate out for next set. But Penny the Orphan is like a 2/2/1 that gains ward when you have a hero character out. So that will probably replace Anna, because I think she's from set 4. Braving the Storm, who gets she doesn't have ward, but she gets +1 when you have a hero character out, and she combos well with Alice or Rapunzel and stuff. So there's definitely a lot of synergies involved. There's a lot of ways that you can lose with this deck too. It's just a matter of catching your opponents off guard right away. Usually, if you can get turn 1 Patch, people will be like, what the hell is this guy playing? It gives away your deck colors right away, but there's odds are your local community won't see this deck coming. So give it a shot. Let us know in the comments below how the deck performed for you, and I wish you the best of luck, and go get a Jafar playmat.
Can we talk about another deck too? Maybe
absolutely.
The second
video,
or just continue on with the podcast of
hell
it?
Yeah.
Because I want to bring up Luke's deck from Saturday.
Absolutely.
Or Sunday rather, yeah. Which was also the same color combo as Saturday's win at Tabletop.
Yep.
So Ruby Emerald, this discard deck, which really came out of nowhere. I know I've seen it pop up in a few places online of people talking about it, but the fact that it like came into our local meta and won 2 decent store championships. Again, Tabletop had 17 people there. And then I think what was Storytellers, 20 people.
Yeah.
So not terrible, size set champs. And so, with, again, the sweaty players from, you know, the Central New York and Buffalo area coming out to play, and was able to win. And that's just got some cool pieces. It's essentially your Emerald discard package from any other Emerald deck that you're going to play. And then the Ruby side of it has some, the key like control, so like your Maui Half Shark Hero to All, the Pirate's Life, you know, to keep that lore down. He's playing Tremaine in this list. I'm not sure what Rocky was playing.
He played it too. He beat me.
Yeah, I would almost lean more towards Tremaine. I guess Medusa is all right, but like if you have something with ward that you can't remove, like I would rather see the Tremaine. Plus, shifting on Tremaine is still fun, even though you can't.
I want to say Rocky might have played both.
Bounce.
I feel like.
I think he might have.
And then you can throw the Be Prepared in there. Right. I mean, like, if you don't think of anything with a red deck, but Be Prepared, you're a Ruby deck, you're a discard deck, and then getting slapped with a Be Prepared, you're just, and trust me, because I went through this, it sucks. I this is not the Nightmare Before Christmas. This is because you're red and green. This is your Nightmare on Christmas deck. It's a it's a brutal, brutal, brutal deck to play against. And I never liked playing against discard. Danny and I were talking on Diablo doesn't faze me. But there's just John. I played it two of these on Saturday in my 4 matches I played. I was able to win the first one. I was able, and I botched the second one. When it was close, I lost 2-1, and I would have had a shot if I hadn't botched it. Let's believe it that.
Yeah.
But it's so tough to play against, and you have to. It's a very much like a Steel Song. Like when you're playing Steel Song, like you got to get it on the draw. Like you have some advantages to be able to do that because you're or on the play because you can control their stuff early on. When Prince John comes out, like get a couple of them. I won because I was able to drop a Grab Your Swords and just wipe them out, and that's the only thing you can do. And I don't remember if it was my first when I played Cody from Waterloo Canandaigua area, and he was playing. I don't know if it was him or if it was Rocky, but they actually made a comment to me because they had 2 Johns out, and I had three cards, and then maybe discard the three cards and whatever. They did something in there, but they drew six on it. And it was a lot. They're like, this is just disgusting. The fact that I can make you get rid of your hand and then pull six into my hand.
Yeah.
And I wanted to cry because I was done. And then you throw in, I think, which is my new least favorite card, Pirate's Life, especially with Maui Half Shark. That 5-point swing is brutal.
It's crazy.
And the fact that that's getting reprinted is just BS in my mind.
Yeah, it's a backbreaking card, unfortunately. Like,
it's a brutal deck. I'm glad you brought it up.
Especially with Maui Half Shark.
Well, talking about like ways to win your set champs, right? No one is expecting the Amber Sapphire deck that Danny played. No one was expecting this in our local meta. It surprised everyone. Like, people are joking about, you know, Christmas being here. Like, oh, I didn't know it was the Christmas in July. Like, jokes were happening. So, yeah, fun deck to maybe try out, too.
I'd love to see, when I was looking at the list, I'm like, what other cards could go in this? I don't know if it's too high of a ceiling, but the Big Sisu would be really cool. I do love that he's got the Pete bad guy in here, that he's a five drop, but when you play at least two actions, he gains plus two strength, and then he can quest for four, which is disgusting, especially with Undermine.
Yep.
Because you can boost him just by playing, by having Pete on board, you play Undermine, he goes up by two, and then you give him two, and you make your opponent discard a card, and then Pete quests for four.
What does the Undermine do again? Because I heard it, like, it was annoying.
It's a green-red card that says chosen opponent chooses and discards a card. Chosen character gets plus two strength this turn. So it's perfect for
Pete.
And
I saw a lot. And all I keep thinking of is the Underminer.
Yeah.
Sorry. But you're only going to see it in a red-green deck. And it was, I think they both ran four of them that I played against. And Luke obviously played, ran four too.
Yeah, I think it's a great card. I honestly would probably play four Pirate's Life because of how strong the card is, especially, I know you can cycle it with Maui Half Shark, but like, man, it's such a good card.
Worst case scenario, it's inkable too. Yeah, it's like inkable. That should be an uninkable card mine.
Yeah.
And shout out to Heffalumps and Woozles too. That's a fun card, I think, that, because I was playing this back in set six. Like, I wanted to make this kind of deck work. Just, I don't think all the pieces were there quite yet for it, but Heffalumps and Woozles, the fact that, like, you stop one of your opponent's characters from questing. Very similar to the John Silver that prevents your characters from challenging in Steel. Yeah. Those types of cards disrupt very important plays that you're not, because that's strange, right? Oh, I can't quest. Oh, I can't challenge. What makes that happen in this game? Not a lot in the meta decks, right? They're much more of like a focus on dealing damage, removing cards entirely, just gaining lore.
Yeah.
But those other effects, surprise people.
Draw a card too.
And draw a card.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's cheap, right? It's a cheap card and inkable.
Two cost song. Yeah, Ursula could sing it if you wanted. Sing it twice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're taking two people out from the next turn. And I know I've played decks against it, and you're just like, it's backbreaking. Like, when you're like, oh, that's all I need to get ahead. And they don't need to take you out. They can handicap you for a turn.
I don't know if Rocky was playing this, but I love that Luke has Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo too, so you can do some bouncing.
He didn't play it against me. I know that.
Which, I mean, you can.
You do to probably replace Lady Tremaine.
That's what I was going to say. You can reset your Tremaines, which is awesome. So, yeah, honestly, seeing the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, I would almost just lean into the Tremaines because then you can still do Tremaine, shift Tremaine, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, reset, you get two cards back. Disgusting.
Don't Talk About Bruno in there?
Yep, four copies of We Don't Talk About Bruno that Maui Half Shark could sing. Maui Hero to All once your opponent's board is cleared. Like, there's a lot. It's very interesting because, like, the green stuff is all, it makes sense. It's your low start, and then the red stuff comes in late game to, like, destroy stuff or. And it works. It's very symbiotic because the green stuff has a very early game, and red has always been strong, big, strong cards that need time to come out. So you stall with the green discard and then hit them with the heavy hitters like Maui. And, you know, just watching your game against Rocky on Saturday, I was like, oh, man, this is just brutal. He 2-0'd me, too, in rounds. It's just you can't. If you're relying on a late game, like a control deck, this deck will win most likely.
I've always, going back to when discards started to become more popular in set three maybe and stuff. It was always frustrating for me that I'm like, I want to hold this card to next turn, but yeah, there's like a 75% chance that it's not going to be around. Yep. And so I got to ink it. And that was where my botch happened, was late in the game. I think I had a shifted Sonic Warrior.
And a Cindy.
And I chose to quest them because I think I was frustrated. And it just, there was a couple things going on. And I'm like, screw it, I don't have much of a chance, this is my only thing. And then Danny had said, like, if I had held them, because that opened up him to take me out. And I think there was a popsicle on the board, so he removed damage. And it really backfired terribly. But at that point, and it speaks into, like, when you're playing, like, this, the mental game of it. Like, I was just like so frustrated by that point, because I really kicked his butt in game one.
Yeah.
And then game two, and I'm like, I can do this. I've already beaten this deck three times today.
Yeah.
And I didn't even, I think I went, yeah. It's tough, because they have so many things going on. You just, what's in that hand right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's always hard too, especially once you've thrown in the towel mentally. It's like, okay, let's just get this over with. And it just sucks because it's like, I want to win this mat, you know?
As a guy with two mats.
Well, let's good transition to when things don't go your way at Set Champs, because I was very frustrated with my experience at a store champ because rules weren't followed.
Yeah.
You know, you can essentially crash out if you let this game get to you. And Dan, you've got the great analogy, so I don't want to take your thunder.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's only fresh in my head because I've recently seen Inside Out. There's a scene in it, and maybe we can put up the scene, but it's the girl, I forget her name, the main person that the emotions are inside of. She's working herself. She's getting up early and grinding and grinding and grinding, and she grinded herself too much, and just everything shuts down, and she ends up passing out, and she burnt out, you know. And that's
Riley.
Yeah, Riley, thank you. It's very easy to do that in anything. That was a sports related thing, but you know, competitive card games the same. Like, you can burn out of just about anything if you put your mind to it. And we've seen that with a few people. You know, it's unfortunate. They're usually tournaments, there can only be one winner, it's tough when things don't go your way. The upside to that is there's always going to be more tournaments. Thank you. There's always going to be more tournaments. And one of the things that I always remind myself is I would rather lose gracefully than try and make a scene and throw a fit. You know, it's better just to save your face, one, but two, like, at the end of the day, we're playing Mickey Mouse cards. It's all right. It's about who you're playing with that makes the game worth playing, in my opinion, at least. There's some people that are lone wolves, and I've play alone. But at the end of the day, if I'm still having fun and my friends are going to win a mat, like, that's awesome. You know, I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, same. I mean, I did get frustrated, but I hopefully didn't take it out on the person I was playing against. And I knew in that moment it was Danny. He beat me. I was not frustrated at him, though. No.
I felt so bad.
The nail on the coffin, honestly, was the fact that, like, of course this would happen, where it's I'm playing Danny in this, like, I either have to win this right now for a chance to get into top eight, or, you know, or I don't. Basically, I can't draw. I know I can't do the cheeky thing to ensure that the both of us make it. So it felt bad. But, like, you know, I got frustrated. But what did I do in that moment? Instead of reacting towards others, like, I kept it internal and I just said, you know what, now I'm just going to go home. So I'm not going to be frustrated here. I'll just get away from the environment and cooled off. And I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset at anyone. I didn't feel like, you know, justice needed to be served for anything. Like, no, I was frustrated and I needed to cool off. And as soon as I cooled off, felt fine and was excited to come back and play, because I knew it wasn't me. I was not the one who held myself back in this moment. And so to Danny's point of, like, yeah, you can play another game afterwards. There are more set championships, and that mental part makes me more excited. And Brandon, you mentioned this earlier, kind of like level up with each set champ that you play. Same thing. So it's like, okay, now I know I'm ready to level up for the next one.
It it's spot on. There's a couple of things that one, when we're talking about my botching Danny afterwards, like he told me, and then Anthony told me, and then another, then Dan told me, and I flipped off Dan and said, like, fuck you, Dan. And it wasn't directed at Dan. It was literally like in 5 minutes. And I apologized right away. I'm like, this is not personal. It's nothing to do with you. It was purely, but like, you timed it bad. Because he had gone to the bathroom after the thing. But at the end, Danny was like, you got to learn from your mistakes. And I completely agree. You have to learn from your mistakes. What did you do wrong? And I'm an aggressive player. I like to play. I like to move. I am always telling myself to slow down. So that was a learn. But like, how do I deal with that? Well, I go to the Ted Lasso approach. And I said it earlier when we were just shooting shit here. But like, be a goldfish. Like, legit. That's the best. If you don't know the reference, what animal's got the shortest memory? It's a goldfish. It doesn't remember. So be a goldfish. If you win, be a goldfish. Celebrate, then be a goldfish and go back and do it again, right? If you lose, learn from it, but be a goldfish. Forget it and move on. It's you always got to do that, because if you're just dwelling, you're either going to be living on past experiences and you're not going to have the new experiences. You're going to miss out on something, or you're going to be so upset. And like you said, you just went home, I'm always frustrated when I make a mistake, but I always know that I don't always control everything. But I learned from them. I'm going to move on. I don't want to do it. Tips that I have that go along with it is like, put things in perspective. Like, if this is the only thing in your life, then this is the only thing in your life, and you can spend 100 million minutes doing it. But if you got other stuff going on, like I do, I have to set aside time. Like, I know when we're doing this, this is going to be set aside. And I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to, you can't tell I was getting ready, but I was actually getting ready. But like, I look forward to this because we get to talk about Lorcan. I get to talk about it with friends, and I enjoy this. This is something I look forward to. It's relaxing for me to do that. But like, find that if you got to build in a little time, or recognize this is where it's going to go. And if you do really well, then celebrate it. Like, it can't always happen, and you have to admit, and you learn, keep building, and make it fun, because when it's not fun, it's not worth doing it. You have to accept. I mean, it's like in anything we do in life, except for maybe work, where we have to do it. But hopefully you're lucky enough to have a job you enjoy doing.
I think that's well said. And that's another important thing too, like, because I feel like we've all experienced burnout at some point in time, and whatever it is that we do, whether it's a hobby or whatever, it's okay to step away. You know, it definitely is okay to be like, hey, I'm just gonna sit the Saturday out or whatever. If you are feeling like it's too much, I would say you're better off just relaxing and not thinking about the game for a little bit and taking it easy. And even if you just want to show up and hang out, like, I think that's one of the best things you can do. If you enjoy the people that you're with, you know, that to me, there's more of a social aspect in competitive card games, because without that, like, what do you have? There's no community, there's no friends that you're playing with. What are we doing? You know,
it's a timing thing. That one set where we had like that extra month after set championships, okay, I actually really enjoyed that because it allowed me to try something different that I hadn't done before, and I wasn't as stressed in thinking. I mean, it was maybe, you know, we were like, okay, let's get something new. A lot of people were, but having those few weeks between set championships and the new one where you can kind of be like, well, maybe I'm going to step away for a week or two to refresh, or like one of the things I like to do to mentally refresh is I take our decks and break them apart and put them away, even if we're going to break out the same one. But like, to me, it means it's a fresh start.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that adds on that. And then we get to Fabled, which I feel like I just want to bash Ravensburger with everything. I'm really unhappy with how this is rolling out.
Let's do it. Like, because like the elephant in the room is the fact that they have created a set, which is a super majority reprinted set. You know, when they first announced 80%. It, they said that, oh, it's going to be, you know, at least half. And we're like, okay, yeah, half, that's fair. And then they're like, actually, 80% is going to be a repeat. Okay, reprints, fair enough. Tell us what they are, because what's happened over the last several weeks is we've gotten a trickle of cards, and the speculation plus fake releases of these photoshopped images of cards that are supposedly being reprinted and you know, rarity changed. Not only does it affect like the market, which to what extent is it truly affecting it? Probably not really, but I think of someone like, you know, you see it and you're like, oh, Diablo's getting reprinted. instantly goes to TCG player. You know, I'm going to purchase them now before they go up in price. I hope that didn't happen to anyone. But the point is that, like, why hold this back from us? What is the purpose when you could have just dropped this all as here's all of the reprint?
If and there then- was only an event in the last week and a half where about cards where you could go, here's everything, everybody. Now let's talk about the new stuff. What instead if, of saying, let's talk, forget about the last 2 years.
What if the event that you prophesized also you were co-sponsor of? It's weird.
I'm sorry to interrupt, dumb. But I'm like, it's like,
unfortunately dumb. And what they, I think, tried to do is, look at set 10, look at set 10. And it's, I don't care about set 10. Unfortunately, we brought this up either on Saturday or Sunday. We are in an unfortunate rinse and repeat pattern that is, here's this new set. Oh, by the way, here's this new set. And now I'm not even excited about Fabled because I want to see what's happening with Whispers in the Well. It's just like I couldn't even enjoy. I was so excited for Reign of Jafar. I was like, oh, man. Jafar wheel is going to go crazy this set.
Which they botched.
Yeah, they botched it.
I tried that for 6 weeks.
When we were doing the set release for it, there was already talks about Fabled. And it's like, okay, well, now I care more about Fabled than I do Reign of Jafar.
And I will throw out there with all of this, like, the financial aspect of it, right? Like, I'm a completist, right? Like, I want to have everything. So for the first 8 sets, I will tell you, as of the time I left my house, I'm 50 cards short of a play set of the first 8 sets.
Wow.
That's individual cards. So we've done a good job. We've gotten more than our fair share. I don't care anymore. I'm not play setting Fabled. There's 33 cards I want. I'm not even going to break boxes. 1 in 4 case chance of getting an iconic. I'm not getting an iconic. If I get one, that's freaking awesome, right? I'm super thrilled. I'm not buying a case to try to get it. I'm not. There's a couple good enchanteds, but the way enchanted prices dropped lately, I'm not going to buy stuff. And printed. I was on the other day looking at some of the enchants. Like, you know, the Snuggly Duckling's not an awesome one. I love Rapunzel. I can get it for $20, right? That's nothing for me. Like, I'm going to do that at some point. I want the Honey Wizard. I don't see the Wizard at $175 in 6 months because the card's unplayable.
Yeah.
Right. So it's going to be $80-$70. I'll get it then. Right. So, like, I'm not going. I'm going to go on TC. I'm going to, Anthony's going to buy a box. I'm going to buy a box. We've said that. Then we'll get whatever packs we get when we go and play and stuff. But, like, after that, I'm going to go on TCG and just get those 33 cards. I'll get the play set of those 33 cards. And I'm not going to give a crap about any other ones because, one, we didn't get any new art. The only new art happened to be in set 8 for some ungodly reasons. We rush out. Captain Hook for no reason whatsoever, and an unplayable card effectively, right?
Yep.
Because everything it's going with, it's going away. And then I'm on a rant. I feel like Stuart Scott right now or something. I know this reference that Andrew didn't get. but like, why are we downgrading cards? Why are we taking Alice? That was the one that came out today, and now she's super rare. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not as important anymore. The card's not as good.
I'll defend the rarity change because this is one I think, like, you had me all the way. I'm right there with you, Brandon. And then the rarity change, and not saying to take away from anything just said, but I see the value in changing the rarity because what that tells me is they feel like these cards were put in a spot that the rarity level didn't match what they contributed to the game. And so by making it more rare, you're saying it's a better card than it actually is. So downgrading the rarity means it increases the likelihood.
So make us a new card. So give us a new card with a similar valid aspect. You know, like let's bring Haram back, kick it up a rarity, and make a tweak, or just tweak the card or something. But, like, no new art, no new mechanics. Like, and then the first land we get back, I don't know if you guys saw it, Atlantica. How stupid. You're taking away all the songs except junk, and now you're going to give us a card that you're not going to use. Like, there's only a couple lands that see consistent use. One's McDuck.
That's probably not coming back.
Nope. And then if a lot of people in green use the Cove.
Yeah, Hidden Cove.
Right.
Queen's Castle Mirror Chamber.
Yep, that's gone.
And then Seven Dwarf, which is probably still around, right?
That's 5.
5?
But, yeah, like, there's not a lot of locations that get played. Atlantica's never been played.
Yeah.
as someone who's played Steel Song, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't need to buff up my singers anyways, but what am I buffing them up for anymore? You've taken away all the good songs.
Right.
I'm bitter. And I'm looking forward to trying to find out something new because, again, I've played Steel Song since set two. I'm ready to try something else. I've recognized since the beginning of this, although I just feel like you said it earlier, it's a steel setter meta, right? Almost all the big decks have steel for the longest time. We're starting to get away from that. But I think now they're just ramming Ruby or Sapphire right back down through us. There's just too many things out there that are going to help. And, you know, Alice getting Growing Girl, I mean, that builds into Sapphire. And it was a great card. I wish it did see more. But I would have done something different with it. Do something different. Give us it. You can reuse characters and build other things off of them and do something along the same lines. Just rewrite the card. You know, someone said the other day we don't have a lot of art, like some of the songs, like Strength of Raging Fire. You don't have a ton of different things. Well, you don't, but you can come up with some other stuff in there. But the characters, I mean, we already have made up stuff that didn't occur in movies in anyways. I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. And I don't know if this is all part of the shift in who's managing the game and where we're getting and we're trying to build to something. And yeah, I get the point of you're correcting the mistake of an earlier generation, but then that legendary Alice is useless. And, you know, I mean.
The other thing, too, correcting a mistake. I don't know if you needed to correct a mistake. I said something in our chat when Mike was talking about we needed a reset. I don't think the game realistically needed a reset because the meta is so diverse right now. It's a very healthy game. But on top of that, the first year of Lorcana broke the big three of card games, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and Magic the Gathering. I think it dethroned Yu-Gi-Oh, and Magic and Pokemon were still on top, but it entered the big three slot. And that's only because one new card game, but also the cards that were in it. The first four sets were awesome. Honestly, like they did a really great job making a very competitive card game, and it showed with the way all the DLCs went. I mean, each one was sold out, and people were banging down the doors just to get in there. Like, I don't think a lot of those cards really should come back, there with a few exceptions, but I don't know. It's right now, it's at a pivot point in its life for Lorcana because it's a newish card game, but there's new card games coming up every single day now. We got Riftbound, the new Gundam game just launched. Like, those are going to eat away at the community, and it's going to spread out people, and who knows? You know, there's people that still play Star Wars Unlimited and Flesh and Blood, like One Piece card game. There's a lot of different card games, and people are free to do other things, so I can't say that I blame them. There's a lot of uncertainty around Lorcana, and it's kind of put on by Ravensburger by not releasing these damn reprints.
Yeah, and like to the point about not having enough art, I think that's the biggest issue. The reprint thing, and I've talked to like the Pokemon players about this because they reprint cards like consistently, right? It's like the Professor Oak is back or whatever. And so they see that as like being just a part of the card game. And so same thing in Magic reprints cards that will come back into play. But the key difference is they give us new art each time. And I think that's the biggest issue is, and I said this when it was hinted at that set 9 was going to be a rotation. I was like, oh, well, as long as they're giving us new art, like all the other card games do, great. You know, that just gives the collector something else. So Brandon, when you're like, yeah, I don't want to open this because I already have all these cards, and the difference being the rarity symbol has changed and it has a 9 instead of a 1-4 on it, what's the point?
Because 1-4 is better than 9 anyways. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, number wise, let's go with it. Honestly, to the point of like, yeah, this came out when, and it's from the first year of the card game. Absolutely. I think 20 years from now, you're going to look at those two cards very differently. So why not give us new art? That's the part that gets me. And they are doing it with some cards, like we saw in set 8 with a random card, but not other ones. And things like the songs, like, yeah, how much can you do differently? There's a lot you can do in this game. And I think making it fit a style or theme, where Fabled, then that might be the excuse for it, because didn't they announce at something that it's not really tied to like the story, right?
Yeah.
Of
yeah, it's said every year. Shimmering Skies was kind of the same thing when they kind of came out, and I've seen TCG refer to this as the second chapter. Also, I don't know if that came directly from Ravensburger or of them, but you basically skipped year two and calling this the second chapter, which would have been a great way to start it out. Really, I mean, that they should have been called Fabled the second chapter, right?
Yeah.
But I agree with you with that, and they did an amazing job in Jafar in bringing in the sand. I mean. Look at your simple card like Thumper, which is just a vanilla card, if I recall. I've never played it, but like that's a cool looking card because they did an amazing job with the sand. Like you can bring in things from that are part of that theme. Like when they do the Wishing Well, there should be something like that and whatever. That's 10, and then they've announced the name for 11. It's something else. Yeah. But like, you know, and you're building up to the baddie. Like there's so much you can do. And one other thing I've had trouble with the release is if you go on the Discord for Ravensburger, they give you the list of the reprints and who's announcing them. So I went there today, and that's how I found out the Queen, the one drop Queen was going to be reprinted. So I'm thinking you're going to drop the Legendary, and that would be a perfect. We haven't seen a step down in an Amber yet, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that Queen step down because now you don't have a whole new world to sing, but still a pretty decent card, I think, even though it doesn't see a lot of play. But anyways, I went to the person who was announcing it, and it was her Instagram. And this is when I clicked the links and stuff, it brought me up to her profile. She had one card on there. Like, why is we only announcing one reprint, and she's got a common queen, one drop queen, right? And we just saw that when we were looking earlier. But like, if you're going to bring people in, like, it's not the reprint reveal they should be doing. If you're going to give her one card, give the woman one of the new cards. Like, you had given us the whole list of all the old stuff, and then this drawn-out process that we're going to lead up to two Fabled dropping, like, the Wednesday before when people start cracking packs online. Like, that's when we should see all the new stuff. You could do two cards a day because we'd be excited to see that one. You don't even have to give us a time. It's a random thing that is just going to be dropped out. And you eliminate the fakes. You could have you build more suspense for it. You could have a culminating show on Friday. This is the cool stuff we see, and this is what have the guys who built the card talk about what they see the mechanic doing. I mean, there's so much stuff that's there. And going back to the meta, this weekend and the last weekend are perfect examples of the decks we highlighted, right? We've had a pretty established meta. Amber Steel was out there and stuff like that. And Sapphire and Ruby, the deck you've been playing was built to beat Sapphire and Ruby, which it does. Just the Sapphire Ruby for a little while there, it felt like for you. But we have two new decks that were built, and they just destroyed the meta, right? So, I mean, you can do that. We couldn't do this a year ago. When we were at set four, set champs, it was the same decks that were winning, right?
That's true. Yeah, Ruby.
And Rant.
Ruby Sapphire and – or not Ruby Sapphire.
Ruby Amethyst.
Ruby Amethyst and Emerald Steel were the two to play against. Maybe there was a little bit of Steel Song at that point, but
that's when I won mine.
Yeah, that was
because I got the right matchups.
That was like when it was playing 21 Uninkables too, and it could like beat itself. That was always my fun. Like that's
when Phil helped me a lot.
Oh yeah,
yeah, because there wasn't a lot of things to counter it at that point. Yeah. People didn't see it coming.
We're at a very interesting point as of right now. You know, if that could change, maybe. I think it's gonna determine on how Ravensburger sees set releases from going forward. You know, I hope that they make some really good choices in their Fabled reprints. And
I wonder if, and speaking on this, if the first, so let's call it, it's a story, right? So they have a four set story, and I know that Magic does some thing and stuff, but like they have their core set, right? Yeah. So is this likely? I mean, are they? It's what you think. What we're going towards with that, like the first set of the story is going to be like a core set where you're going to see a whole bunch of reprints and some stuff, and then the other ones kind of build in other things. I mean, that which would make more sense. Just, I hate the release again.
So what they announced at Gen Con is that Fabled isn't actually connected at all to any of the Lorcana story.
That's what I'm saying. So like the with the cards though, a year from now, yeah, will we give a repeat of that and it becomes core 20 or year four? Core
as and of then, right now, I think that would make sense just to add some longevity to some of these cards, because like next a year from now, I'm gonna hate to see some of my favorite cards from sets 5 through 8 go, but you know, that's just the nature of the
Maui F Shark.
Yeah,
I will add in after all my complaints, I think the stuff that's going along with the set has, I like the Tink gift set. I mean, maybe it's because I'm getting the Tink out of that. The Elsa, even though we all know we're getting five Shimmering Skies out of that. But they've come up with a whole bunch now, and there's a lot of new ways. Where did I see the Mickey Mouse? Oh, that's in the puzzles. So the puzzles are really cool. I want to get the puzzles and complete the puzzles. It's you're looking for that break because you need to walk away, but you still want to do something. Go do a puzzle. That'll frustrate you for a little while, but that'll be cool, and you get the Mickey out of it. So I think they've got a lot of other stuff that's coming in. I think they're getting better at doing that.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the sleeves. I think I mentioned it to you. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but the packaging's different for the sleeves. Maybe we got a new producer, which I would love because I think the sleeves suck and I want to be able to play them. And why didn't you update Winnie the Pooh? Honey Wizard. Everyone knows the card is awesome looking card. Honey Wizard. And it sucks.
Yeah. I wanted to add in.
Because random comment.
This got brought up in our Discord about, like, why are they reprinting some of these cards? Like, for example, Verana, the Fang Chief, a 5/5, cost 5 emerald card, quest for 2.
You didn't ask for that?
No. I mean, personally, of course not. Why would I want the vanilla card that... to Brandon's point earlier, like, why don't they make a different card? Like, I think that's the missed opportunity, but I see why they put a card like this in. And they mentioned this at Gen Con. They're thinking more about sealed. And so whatever the winter set is going to be, they said that it's going to be designed around playing the sealed game more, which I think they want to, which makes sense from a business standpoint. Like, yeah, oh, in order to play this format, you have to buy things, you know, to play with sealed, right? And so you need cards that in constructed are likely never going to see play. But something like Verana, she's an on-curve card. She's something that on turn 5 in a random like color.
Pack rush or something.
Yeah. She's the kind of card that you want to see because it's not going to drastically swing the game in one way or the other. It just kind of lets it happen at a reasonable pace, right? So that's why those cards exist. Who's the creator of Magic? The Mark Rosewater? I'm blanking on his name.
Not going to get it from me.
Something Garfield, I think.
He has an article, which I think every TCG player should read, which is why they print bad rare cards.
Richard Garfield.
And the article, it's something to the effect of, can maybe add the link in the description later, but like, why do they make bad rares? And the reason why is for this. You need things that are in a vacuum, they don't make sense and they're bad. But when you add the context of, oh, well, when you play sealed, you need things that are going to be on curve. You need cards... Always seeing the
that's
Brave Little Taylor. Speaking of things that are coming out, so enough of the negatives of it. But that's why they're doing some of these things, is because they're thinking about how the format is in sealed versus constructed.
So, and touching on your Series 10 stuff too, to not listen to you and just go on my own little thing. they did release several Series 10 cards at Gen Con,
unfortunately,
for which I was surprised. I didn't really pay attention, but the dates were out. This actually is important to us.
Oh, yeah, no, it's release week was what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And October is your set championships,
yeah,
right? For the month of October, and then, which sucks for people in marching band because that's a huge month. And then pre-release is November 7th, which is, and then November 14th is, full wide release. So for Whispers in the Well, they're really making sure it's out for Christmas. Let's hopefully we see a Target box set again. Oh, that was a good one last year. But anyways, totally off track. But as things are coming down the road from the upside, and who are starting to think about another successful event this fall, those November dates, keep a watch for those November dates. And we're talking dates. The pre-release, the Friday for this pre-release, we're going to be at the Tyrol Club again, more casual setting.
August 29th,
that's right. A more casual setting. But what we want to do is we want to make it so, one of the complaints I heard is, you know, you go to these places and you get your packs and then you're very structured and you got to play your game and then you go home with nothing. And it's kind of like stupid. Like, let's have some fun with it. So, like, we're going to we'll have product there for you to come in and do drafts. We'll have product there for you to come in and do sealed. You might not know anyone, so you can just fall into one. You might want to come with your buddies and you guys just want to do a draft. We'll have it there so you can do it. And then if you want us to help you run things through any Melee or anything like that, we can definitely do that for you. If you want to do it on your own, we don't care. We might run something ourselves. If you want to crack some packs on the stream because you are looking for those iconics, those new epics, or just any of this stuff and seeing the cards, maybe the, you know what, maybe the stock will see more of a Japanese type stock where the cards are better. I mean, that's,
that'd be nice.
That, you know, something along those lines. We don't know what we're going to get, but come check it out on the 29th, probably 5 to 11. We'll be there and just a casual, have fun, hang out, as opposed to trying to be like move. And even I think when we've done our pre-releases in the past on the Friday as a team or with just a couple local guys, it's tough when you got 12 guys and you don't get to, you know, oh, now I got to go do this. And you don't spend the time. Someone like who got an enchanted or something like that. But I think this will be a much more, I think you did a better job of explaining the social aspect of it when we were talking about it last week. But just to randomly throw that in because we are talking Fabled, but we do need to start getting out there. I'm a little behind on that. But anyone add any comments?
Shall we send it off?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening and
happy questing.